This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. Jack Foley is an innovative, widely published Oakland poet and critic. Born in Neptune, New Jersey, raised in Port Chester, New York, and educated at Cornell University, Foley moved to California in 1963 to attend UC Berkeley. By 1974, deeply influenced by Charles Olson's Maximus poems, he dropped out of graduate school to pursue a career as a poet and writer. Foley is well known throughout the Bay Area and elsewhere for his spoken word performances, performances which often involved choruses, multi-voiced pieces, presented jointly with his wife, poet Adele Foley. Foley's poetry has been described by Heavenbone magazine as evolving from the linguistic musical tradition of the original San Francisco beat poet performers and extending that eye, ear, and voice of penetrating clarity into a modern mythology. Dana Gioia called Foley's poetry that rare commodity, genuinely avant-garde poetry, experimental poetry with depth and intelligence as well as intensity. And Michael McClure referred to Foley as our firebrand experimentalist. Foley's poetry books, all of which feature accompanying CDs or cassette tapes, include Letters, Lights, Words for Adele, Gershwin, Adrift, which was nominated for Northern California Book Reviewers Association Award, Exiles, and with Ivan Arguelles, New Poetry from California, Dead Requiem. His greatest hits, 1974 to 2003, appeared from Pudding House Press, a by-invitation-only series. Two companion volumes of Foley's essays and interviews appeared from Pantograph Press, O Powerful Western Star, and Foley's books, California Rebels, Beats, and Radicals. O Powerful Western Star, which has the distinction of being the only book of critical essays to include a CD on which the author performs some of the work in the book, received the Artist Embassy Literary Culture Award, 1998 to 2000. Foley's most recent collection of essays, The Dancer and the Dance, A Book of Distinctions, Poetry in the New Century, appeared from Red Hen Press in 2008. The self of this book, Foley writes, is not a unity but a multiplicity. Clarification is required as to how the concept of the self as multiplicity affects literary criticism, how it affects our actual reading of poems. It may be that the self we postulate as we read a poem contradicts the self we experience in the world. It is also possible that familiar poems may be experienced anew by being read in the light of multiplicity. Foley is also the editor of All, a James Broughton reader, which was published by White Crane Books, the Wisdom Series, in 2006. Another book Foley edited, The Fallen Western Star Wars, is a compilation of responses to Dana Gioia's controversial essay, Fallen Western Star. Foley's translations from the French include poems by Mallarmé and Baudelaire, as well as a selection of songs by the French songwriter Georges Brassens. Foley's play, The Boy, the Girl, and the Piece of Chocolate, was made into a film by Alabama filmmaker Wayne Sides in 2006. Foley's currently working on a timeline history of California poetry from 1940 to 2005. The book, which I know personally is worth its weight in gold, will be published by Pantograph Press. So after this long introduction, you know that I could easily have a six-hour show just with Jack Foley's work. Instead, tonight I'll be dedicating the first half of the show to Jack Foley, and I will be having him on my show again at a later date, along with his wife, Adele Foley, who writes wonderful haiku. Right now, just sit back and enjoy the work and words of Jack Foley.
This is Jack Foley. This is the first poem I ever wrote. It was written in 1955 when I was 15, and it was a direct and immediate response to reading Thomas Gray's Elegy Written in a Country Churchyard. The poem was clearly salted and peppered, however, by my readings in Thomas Wolfe, particularly in Look Homeward, Angel. I see the night. I see the night, the restless, eager night, that spreads its shadow softly on the day and whispers to the sun's red burning light. to vanish like a dream and pass away. I see the night, the darkened mist of night, and feel the velvet sorrows memories bring. September's leaves have fallen, old and bright, and autumn's winds have blown the dust of spring. I think of days long past and gone and dead, of all the ancient withered hopes I've had, and wonder where the passing hours have fled, the ghosts of yesterday, forever sad. O ghosts, my dreams, once breathing, once alive, like flower petals in a hurricane, were sundered from their stems, no more to thrive, no more to feel the gentle touch of rain. No more to hear my reckless, youthful calls, but banished into bleak eternity, to come again to me when darkness falls, as waves upon the seas of memory. And now the night, with stars and shining lights, all winking sprightly like the woodland fawns, is fading fast, but with a thousand nights, there comes the brilliance of a thousand dawns. My wife Adele and I are going to read you my poem for Oscar Grant III. In this poem, I imagine a kind of collision between the voices of Walt Whitman, who will be played by my wife, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who speak alternately. The Whitman text is from Out of the Cradle, Endlessly Rocking, The Cradle of Democracy. The King text is from his I Have a Dream speech, delivered in front of the Lincoln Memorial during the 1963 March on Washington. For Oscar Grant III.
Out of the cradle, endlessly rocking.
50 years ago.
Out of the mockingbird's throat, the musical shuttle.
A great American signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
Out of the ninth month midnight.
But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free.
Over the sterile sands and the fields beyond, where the child leaving his bed wandered alone, bareheaded, barefoot.
And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition.
Down from the showered halo.
America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds.
Up from the mystic play of shadows, twining and twisting as if they were alive.
But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt.
Out from the patches of briars and blackberries.
We have come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now.
From the memories of the bird that chanted to me.
Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy.
From your memories, sad brother, from the fitful risings and fallings I heard.
Again and again we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force.
From under that yellow half moon, late risen and swollen as if with tears.
The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny.
From those beginning notes of sickness and love, there in the transparent mist.
We cannot walk alone. We cannot turn back.
From the thousand responses of my heart, never to cease.
We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality.
From the myriad thence aroused words.
No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream.
From the words stronger and more delicious than any.
And some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair.
From such as now they start the scene revisiting.
And so, even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow,
as a flock twittering, rising, or overhead passing,
I still have a dream.
Born hither, ere all eludes me hurriedly.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
A man, yet by these tears, a little boy again.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood.
Throwing myself on the sand, confronting the waves.
I have a dream today.
I, chanter of pains and joys, uniter of here and hereafter.
I have a dream today.
Taking all hints to use them, but swiftly leaping beyond them.
A reminiscence sing.
I've been performing with Jack for over 20 years. He writes the poems. The collaboration is in the presentation. We have a couple of signature pieces, standards, like Chorus Overture, also known as Hummingbird, and Chorus Song. Before we first presented them, we rehearsed a lot, and we even recorded them. Jack may read parts of a piece to give me an idea of how he hears it. Then he will assign lines or phrases to each of us and indicate words to be spoken together as a round or two texts to be performed at the same time. Now I may make suggestions on aspects of a newer choral piece. I'm also responsible for synchronizing the timing when we are performing different texts. Audiences, particularly musicians, react well to choral pieces. It's a new idea that wakes them up. But the work is noisy, and some people resist the sound. In the last few years, Jack began writing short plays, and we've been performing them as well. These allow me to show that I'm something of a ham. When we first started, I was nervous about performing my husband's work, getting it right. But performing the choral pieces and plays is exciting. Sometimes they're challenging, but Jack is really good at presenting poetry orally, and I love working with him, the way we sound, and the feedback we get from people.
Overture. Chorus. That the hummingbird's wings are of a remarkable rapidity, he had noted often.
Nothing could be done.
The shift of his breathing.
Had to begin.
12 o'clock, and he still hadn't had a
dermal sensation.
The block of the governor
is therefore revealing.
The muck of the plains.
Living blues.
A means of reversing.
Whereof is so manifest.
Such crooked paths, such ways this palace hides.
Wit and power to study the travail.
New adventures list he undertake.
The way and its power.
Leading to the outside.
In the eyes of the law.
A long time and ideas rise up.
Toward gratification.
Inhaling.
Exhaling.
Rise and fall.
I name that audacity.
With him a hundredfold.
Intellect does in the soul.
I name that audacity whose courage unmanned.
In the form that is.
With the heavenly heart.
Excitations unbounded.
Indolence.
Indolence and distraction.
Directly the roots of.
Towards punishment, towards.
The origins and histories of consciousness. Dispatched from the earth by his brothers, he began to breathe again. For a long time now, I have felt the void like the plague.
A power.
Created
creating in the soul a craving of
the greatest force,
wild animals,
size of the altar,
indispensable for those who would apprehend his meaning aright,
our most logical form, the syllogism,
like consternation spread,
as the greatest force,
and the big hat with the turquoise inlaid eye,
at the bottom of her soul,
look, Nina, it is the general,
on the vermin of the house,
holding back,
the lymphatic milk of fishes,
made in silence,
through the way,
more literary than music, those so-called music,
the swarming population,
low for this little while,
sugar cursey, fish hook,
from the freshness of my eyes,
little boat and a smell of
the revolver,
ready,
come, oh bird, settle a moment, experience anything,
a bullock wagon,
the tramp of feathers, the thunder drop, the white snake,
for a long time now I have
felt the void, like the plague, it is the revelation, a formidable call to the forces that impel the mind, we do not see it as it is, but as it has been fashioned,
moving heads on rollers,
animated hieroglyphs,
a disinclination or resistance,
rolling eyes,
pouting lips,
muscular spasms,
mirror,
shoots,
sources,
limbs,
in
it appear, is burning, east is burning, the old man drew, and a black spirit hugely against, in the flickering light, again, against, in the earliest march, courageous, far more astounding, the days in which, sweet by Nebraska, at the spring, at sunset, the night in disguise, who knows, the would-be merman, the foolish queen, adventures while singing, when Peter Jackson preached in Old Church, factory windows are always broken. This is the price I pay for the light I shall someday see. And what if my body die of this small inland town? But, drunk in tears, no bird, great beds, a poppy, only asleep dissolved, in thunder jars, no guardian, nine times battered to wear and weaving, oh, keep him safe, reveal him, whose he was and who he was, with the peak of the mountain, and his bones were boulders, the Egyptian ass ship, onward she, bore a child, clop, clop, of horses, stored, assembled, and disassembled, the startling impact of their loud bursts of noise as they arrive at unpredictable intervals of the stream. The lines which spread.
The theater's alchemy.
At night, anyway.
In a tight
net.
The huge.
When I saw that the light appeared, I was astonished.
And again fell down, fell dead away.
This is indeed the spirit of wisdom, the eastern source.
Preserving their antiquity.
For none of the pleasures I have is equal to what is given me.
The lines which spread.
The theater's alchemy.
Some of these seem much older than was thought.
God's imminence or indwelling in the world.
A particularly searching theory of the Shekinah.
The king on his throne.
Followers developed in great detail.
Most shameful sinners burned.
The process of creation. Burns. There were two versions of it. In Genesis.
In short, before all else, entirely practical.
Works of the chariot.
My hopes for the theater are, strictly speaking, idealized.
Logos in vacuum.
Innermost joy.
Bound by love.
These are the
manifestations.
The next morning I communicated to my teacher.
Lines that spread.
The boy, the girl, and the piece of chocolate.
We've gone through that chocolate pretty quickly.
Yes, there's only one piece left in the box.
Well, you can have it if you want.
But it's your favorite, a truffle.
Yes, but I'd like you to have it.
Oh, no. That's the last one. It's your favorite. It's yours.
But I'm giving it to you.
That's a sweet gesture. But I don't need any more chocolates. I've had plenty.
Yes, I've noticed you've been gaining a little weight.
What?
Yes, you've got a little problem with those buttons, see?
I have a problem?
Yes, only a little one. But a problem.
You think I'm gaining weight?
I wouldn't say that exactly, but yes, you're getting a little heftier.
Hefty, am I?
It's all right. I like big women.
Nice of you.
And you can get even bigger by eating that piece of chocolate.
I wouldn't touch that piece of chocolate with a 10-foot pole.
One little chocolate won't make much difference. Lots of people have a little sweet after dinner, and they never show it at all.
Maybe you think I should run around the block a couple of times.
Exercise never hurt anyone, you know.
Listen, you butterball. You're fat. You've always been fat. You've been fat as long as I've known you.
Hey, this isn't about me.
What do you mean it isn't about you? This is all about you. That's your chocolate.
No, I want you to have it.
Why?
Because I'm nice, that's why. Because I love you.
You want me to get fat.
I only said you had a little problem. You don't have to get so defensive.
I'm not defensive. You're the one who needs defending.
Defensive doesn't mean needing defending.
Who cares?
Well, I sure don't.
Why don't we just throw the piece of chocolate away?
No, we shouldn't do that.
Why?
It's chocolate.
So?
So chocolate is special. Here, take the piece of chocolate.
Is there poison in this piece of chocolate?
No, no, just chocolate, you know. And butter and sugar, you know, fattening stuff.
I'm getting tired of this talk about how fat I am.
Let's talk about something else.
Good idea.
Well, what should we talk about?
How should I know? You're the one with all the answers.
We could talk about current events.
I hate current events. Look how depressing everything is. The president, the country, everything. It's all awash in hatred and mismanagement. I hate it. I hate it.
How about literature?
Boring.
How about sex?
You mean talking about it?
I mean doing it.
Not now. I'm not in the mood. And besides, I have a headache.
You always have a headache.
I don't always have a headache. Just like a man, you expect us to be always ready. Well, we're not always ready. We have to be coaxed a little. We have to be persuaded.
That's why I was trying to give you the piece of chocolate.
You wanted to give me the piece of chocolate so I'd give you sex?
Well, that's putting it a little bluntly, but yes.
You were paying me to give you sex?
Well, I wouldn't say paying you. I was giving you a piece of chocolate.
One lousy piece of chocolate? You think that's all I'm worth?
It was my favorite kind of chocolate.
But it was only one piece. You think I'd you for one piece of chocolate?
All right, next time I'll offer two.
I wouldn't you if you offered me 100 boxes of chocolate.
I know it. That's why I offered you only one. I don't have to offer you a lot of chocolate. All I need is one. You'll say no to that. I might as well save the rest of the box for myself.
Yourself. That's all you think of.
Well, have you got a better subject?
Yes, I do. I think about the world.
The world?
Yes, and my place in it.
I thought you hated current events.
I do. But that's not the same thing as the world. That just shows the limitation of your thinking. You've never been particularly deep.
Why did you marry me, then?
I thought you'd get better.
Better? You thought I was a fixer-upper?
You could put it like that, yes.
Well, did I?
Did you what?
Did I get better?
No, you just got fatter. You started eating those chocolates, and you never stopped, and you just got immense.
I'm not all that fat.
Oh, yes, you are. You are also a living disproof of the old adage that fat people are jolly. You are dull, dull, dull.
Dull, am I? Give me that piece of chocolate.
No, you said it was mine.
But you don't need it. You're getting fat.
You're fatter than I am.
I tell you what. Let's give the chocolate to charity. We'll go outside and hand it with our compliments to the first kid we see.
He won't take it. Kids aren't supposed to take candy from strangers.
We'll introduce ourselves.
We're still strangers. Besides, if he took it, it would be setting a bad precedent. Someone might want to give him poison candy.
Maybe I'm trying to give you poison candy.
You haven't the imagination.
Oh, I haven't, eh? I tell you, I've been reading a lot of books lately.
This is, I'm sure, a recent development.
And they have a lot of ideas about handling people like you.
What books?
Well, Mein Kampf by Hitler.
You've been reading Mein Kampf?
Yes, and he has a few ideas I'd like to try out. You know, Western women have too much freedom. Nietzsche said, truth is a woman. That's why she loves a soldier.
Nietzsche ended up in the nut house, which is, I might add, where you're likely to wind up, too.
Listen, I'm serious.
You couldn't be serious if you grew two heads.
And you are, huh?
I have my serious side, yes. That doesn't mean I'm against fun.
And what do you think of as fun?
Eating chocolates.
You ate the chocolate.
I did.
It was the last piece.
It was.
I thought you'd give the chocolate to me.
You offered it to me. I ate it.
I thought if I mentioned you were putting on weight, you'd hand it back to me, and then I could eat it.
You offered it to me hoping I'd give it back to you?
Well, yes, that sometimes happens.
Not in this case. Yum, yum. It was delicious.
That was the last chocolate.
The last?
I'll never buy you another box of chocolates.
You didn't. I bought this box. It's my box.
Well, you can have it.
I did.
Bitch.
Bastard.
What's on television?
Nothing but reruns.
Want to go out?
No.
Hey, honey. Let's make up.
Why?
I have another box of chocolates.
Where?
I hid it in the closet.
That's terrible.
Let's go eat them all.
Let's get fat.
First, can I read you my poem?
All right. What is it?
It's called The Skeleton's Defense of Carnality. Truly, I have lost weight. I have lost weight. Grown lean in love's defense. In love's defense, grown grave. It was concupiscence that brought me to the state. All bone and a bit of skin to keep the bone within. Flesh is no heavy burden. For one possessed of little and accustomed to its loss, I lean to love, which leaves me lean, till lean turn into lack. A wanton bone, I sing my song and travel where the bone is blown and extricate true love from lust, as any man of wisdom must. Then wherefore should I rage against this pilgrimage from gravel unto gravel? Circuitous I travel from love to lack and lack to lack, from lean to lack and back.
What a strange poem. I have a poem too. Who do we fall in love with if not ourselves? Starstruck, stupid, or what we feel when struck by Cupid. Falling in love is what we have instead of God. The powerful need for abasement leads to our own effacement. To thy high requiem become a sod, wrote Keats, who understood these things too well. And Anne Francis in this film, fearful and beautiful, is a statue, a woman turned to wood. I think of Chet Baker with his thin voice and marvelous horn, the sudden presence of heroin.
Heroin. H. E. R. O. I. N. E. Snow. Poem imagined to have been written and spoken by the poet protagonist of Orhan Pamuk's novel, Snow. Flakes whirling, general all over cause. He keeps watch over his childhood. There was a special hill not too high. Do you remember? Down we went, her image there, as she walked a dog too large for her, dark eyes shining at him as the dog pulled forward. Do you remember? Not her dog, but he didn't know it then. Cemeteries, where we walked, the listening dead. The enormous silence of the snow, at night especially. Do you remember all that distance away? And now again, snow, emblem of purity, but not of innocence. Les neiges, les neiges. It snows only once in our dreams.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple. You just heard a minuscule amount of work by Jack Foley. He has a very large body of work. You heard it performed by Jack Foley along with his wife, Adele Foley. Up next, Adele reads some of her own haiku.
R.I.P. Chauncey Bailey. Chauncey Bailey was an African-American newspaper editor who was shot in Oakland on August 2nd. Had to cross the street to avoid the police cars on my way to work. Behind yellow tape, he lay under a white tarp, his feet sticking out. Leaning on a car, an officer interviewed an old Asian man. Did you see someone approach the victim and shoot? Which way did he run? I pass this corner on my way from the BART train almost every day. A nice neighborhood, friendly senior citizens, no sign of danger. Suddenly scary, downtown and in broad daylight. Murderers live here. The next day, a shrine, teddy bear, candles, flowers. You are in our hearts. 60 years later, after the internment camps. They were our neighbors, torn from our community. How could this happen? How could this happen? Nurseries and barbershops sold at bargain rates. Sold at bargain rates. Please take the horse and chickens and the fields left fallow. And the fields left fallow, crying for children's laughter, young lovers meeting. Young lovers meeting, near barbed wire, guard towers, boredom and hot dust. Boredom and hot dust, faded memories, at last, soft voices speaking. Soft voices speaking to those who did not witness, utter disbelief. Utter disbelief. It will not happen this time. They are our neighbors. And finally, the poem that gave the title to my book of haiku, Learning to Shave, Father Teaching Son, for our son, Sean. A nick on the jaw, the razor's edge of manhood, along the bloodline.
And that was Adele Foley reading from her book, Along the Bloodline, a collection of haiku. Before moving on from Jack and Adele Foley's portion of this show, I should mention, in case there is even one person out there who doesn't know this already, Jack Foley has a show on Berkeley station KPFA called Cover to Cover that focuses mostly on poetry but includes all kinds of interesting things. It airs on Wednesday afternoons at 3 p.m. For information, you can go to kpfa.org. This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. Next, Jake Berry is an Alabama poet, songwriter, musician, and visual artist. He has many books and CDs out that I encourage you to seek out. When his book Bramboo Drezzy was released, the poet laureate of Alabama, Sue Walker, wrote, Bramboo Drezzy, a poetic encapsulation of the eye. Jake Berry asks the reader to see the disconnections and connections that evolve, indeed resonate, through an experiencing of what has been known and said and thought, what has been stirred in a sort of primordial soup of being in the world. Bramboo Drezzy, Jake Berry says that he doesn't know where the words came from. He said they came one day when he was playing with his cat. Quote, I always make up words when I'm talking to him, unquote. The words seemed like words of power resonating in the spine, but it almost seems there is actually something called Bramboo Drezzy, but I don't know that other than my poem. And the reader should not ask, what is it, but rather go and make a visit, delve into the poem, be swept into the majesty of it. What coheres is the reader's own ongoing process of experiencing. In Foley's books, California Rebels, Beats, and Radicals, Jack Foley, a longtime admirer of Berry's work, writes, Bramboo, Berry told me, referring to the poem as a whole, is not projected, but merely occurs. I don't drive it or shape it. I allow it. Foley notes how the Kabbalah and the Tibetan Book of the Dead are basic texts for understanding Barry's work, how it's, among other things, a mode of projective verse, think Charles Olson, how Brambu Drezi treats the page as a visual field in which various things are scattered synchronistically, and how the poem is also energized by a number of interesting, enigmatic stories and wonderful bits of Southern speech. "Hey, sis, will you draw the curtain? They done stole my pants." Brambu Drezi is a work of almost two decades, and is poetry as experience and an unbounded imagination. It's a three-part work inspired by the Old Testament, Duchamp, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, Haitian Vodun, and the music of Hildegard von Bingen, Bartok, Robert Johnson, and John Coltrane. I encourage you to see the poems on the page so you can fully appreciate how he combines words with drawn, painted, and computer-manipulated images. "Not to know Barry's work," Foley writes, "is to miss something essential and stunningly beautiful about the late 20th century, this, quote, century of horror. The real question Barry's work raises is not, what does it mean, but where do we go from here? Like the millennium, it mirrors so accurately, this great visionary work is not an end, but a beginning. So turn out the lights, light a candle, put up your feet or sway around the room. Here are a few cuts from Brambu Drezi by Jake Barry. And Brambu Drezi is spelled B-R-A-M-B-U-D-R-E-Z-I. Two words, Brambu Drezi.
Plastic surgery for ape face. Long ago, wavy men with horns. The devil's purge. No taboo. Invented washing machines like cyclone fire alarms. Low gray mother thunder holding methane. No taboo. Swimming through waves in the savannah, whose anklet and feathers vomit a mouth full of green hair like abstract ghost claws mourning. Dead meat, drums, left where the sea refuses to wash up another crankshaft. When you speak to me, why is it all like seas, teeth and prime rib and dying jungle? No taboo. Cairo, Congo Square, ritual blues, courtship, animal dance, deep space, anthropometamorphosis kiss. No taboo. Backseat bottom man, litany escape, eating out of the afterbirth. Prehominid hallucination, Getsing. Spoke to her carefully, at pains not to disturb the glass. Is a dragon fire or lion in white eclipse composed of the sun I swallow? My face a thousand stories deep, seeded with plagues and amorous beasts, seize the twin fathers of Maelstrom and beat her into submission. She holds their laws in her teeth, snapping at the veins, testing the reins and the stones I hurl from a precipice in Jupiter alone to bear to the mark, to bear the mark, to bear the mark. As if time is a cellular dislocation, I feel the roots in my chest contract, a conspiracy of laughter in stones I heave from zodiac tar. To bear. bear mark. To bear is the lion, a green sulfur freight train penetrating Golgotha of Venus. I spoke to her carefully, and she responded, if at all, with barbed vacancy, and the air around her crackle reduced to raw. Her paws in stone, her antlers discharged taloned salvos across the Red Sea in my veins. Is the second Negredo Gambala's convergence, Alba Melanos, in the white darkness, be my rider. When there is nothing left of me, be my rider. Be my rider. I came here to speak of the gathering dead, and the smell of singed hair, and the songs the dead sing in their bodies when breath is no longer possible and the ghost cannot fly. I came here to speak of the dew-colored leopard that circles them as they pass between posts that rise on either side of a river that floods when the slaughtering game begins. I came here to disavow the electronic haze of eternity that saturates our eyelids when we corrupt our animal silence and wear blindness like a skin, offering cold meat to the close night breathing. I came here to sing from out of the river's mouth, to brood in those impenetrable waters, so deep into the green turbulence that I drink an occult maelstrom of faces, warped and lost from their skulls, half eaten by the faceless creatures here, but still alive in some recess the mind invents to deny the pure truth of its terror. I came here to speak of the gathering dead, and study with my lips the mouths that assume the shape of the vacuum they leave tumbling through the wound and tumbling out a voice that vanishes as soon as it sounds. What is your name? May those that are bound in heaven be cut loose with the flames. I was too startled to answer, but when the voice asked again, I said, my name is No One. All I can tell you is the old man has always called me No One. The voice did not respond, but I heard sounds in the darkness, like the rustling of leaves, like heavy drapes blown around by the wind. But there were no leaves, no drapes, and no wind. I reached for the lamp. Then I was waking up on the cold stone floor. It was morning. The old man was leaning over me. What's the matter, No One? Did your dreams toss you out of bed? I felt as if you were speaking to someone else.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Jake Berry perform work from his book, Brambu Drezi. In the author's notes of the book, he writes, "My use of the words from various myths, religions, symbolisms, and sciences is not intended as an act of appropriation for my own purposes. That would go against the very nature of what Brambu Drezi is, a completely open work without boundaries. These words should be taken for their conventional meaning, and that meaning should be incorporated into the understanding of the work. That is, I do not use them to explain my personal experience, but to generate an experience that is beyond me and as mysterious to me as anyone who reads or hears the work." So let's go back into the mysterious. Here are some more cuts from Brambu Drezi.
Everything that enters this house is mistaken for a shadow. Everything that falls from the overhanging trees bears the wounding, describes a sentient echo. I have taken the chemicals, mouth to Eucharist in the chemical arts. Her hands tremble when she removes the stems and twists them between her wrinkled fingertips. The petals fall for a thousand years. Everything that stumbles misshapen out into the rain has his hands in the reckoning animals. Everything diminished by the frailty of arteries and masonry and the broad ribs spread knows that there is nothing forever, and there are the wings she folds across her breast. Stop breathing. These sacraments, the swan, the crow, the mare and the corn, the horse I have ridden to death in this field where memory is destroyed. These sacraments, a child's arm is severed and fed to the populace. She bends down in the field, lifts a large clay pot toward heaven, places it on her shoulder and walks away. Prayers in the threshing house. She was 15 when the armies came and killed all the men. I was a child. I was sick most of the time. My mother told me about the wreck of cinema in old America. Everything changed after that. These sacraments, information sickness and the plunder of Yggdrasil. Seven robes laid across the bed like seven skins, one for each lover he kept in a closet behind the wall. The lemons and peaches on the windowsill, the green light falling. The weather is close. Storms are coming. The cicada's song. Steady and dry. Insect metal drumming up the heat. They are chanting in a hospital corridor, in the waiting rooms, in the family of the dead waiting for word, and the nurse coming toward you in a cruel clinical light. Chaos is warm. These sacraments. I don't want to talk to you anymore. She opens her mouth to say, I'm sorry, but all you can see are the gods in her eyes, and the room wheels and drops, and the lights go out. I fell to my knees and cried out to no one. I'm tore open, raw and clean. I got a heart like railroad steel. I'm tore open, raw and clean. I got a heart as railroad steel. I'm going down to the slaughterhouse and find me something young to keep. These are the sacraments. There are no cities. Chaos is warm. Businessmen devoured the cities and flew around Europe, Asia, and Africa covered in soldiers. Birth, war, and violent expenditure. In the north, in a thick fog, The neural wave breaks up in static. You hear fragments. You remember your body in pieces, though you do not remember it as your own. A hand, a ring, a lullaby your mother sang, a face in the mirror you can't explain. I was sick and wet with fever. Now I am sick again, and I speak out of that wet distance. My voice is thick and heavy. The sea makes shapes in the cloud. I came here to speak to the dead and found them alive and possessed by a green fire. Branches and leaves grew from their shoulders. At the confluence of these rivers, our voices mingle. Our forms are inseparable. We move through one another. We drink wilderness. Here, in this place, the mirrors explode. The windows are electric, alive. I fold my hands on my lap and study the raw nerve trees burning. I move in their fever. Here, with these others, I am a gesture. Out of that wet distance. Out of that.
This is Catherine Hastings. You just heard selections from Rambu Drezi by Jake Berry. Tonight's featured poets on Word Temple were Jack Foley, Adele Foley, and you just heard a number of recordings by the musician and poet Jake Berry. KRCB will be airing a second Word Temple program this month. It is a special tribute to David Mansfield Bromage, a wonderful poet born in England in 1933, who died in Sebastopol, California, on June 3, 2009. The program will air on August 26th at 7 p.m., so please tune in for a tribute to David Bromage. I want to remind you that in order to hear some good live poetry, you can come to the Word Temple Poetry Series. The fall season is starting on September 11th, next month, and will take place at the Sonoma County Museum at 425 7th Street in Santa Rosa. You can go to their website, sonomacountymuseum.org, for directions. On the opening night, September 11th, two poets will be featured, John Olivares Espinoza and Rusty Morrison. Espinoza is the author of a number of books, including Gardeners of Eden, Aluminum Times, and his most recent complete collection of poems, The Date Fruit Elegies. Espinoza teaches writing and literature at the National Hispanic University in San Jose. Reading with Espinoza on Friday, September 11th at 7 p.m. is Rusty Morrison. She is the author of The True Keeps Calm Biding Its Story. This book won the 2007 Sawtooth Prize. It was the winner of the James Laughlin Award from the Academy of American Poets, and it also won the Northern California Book Award in Poetry this year. So, Friday, September 11th at 7 p.m. at the Sonoma County Museum, 425 7th Street in Santa Rosa, the Word Temple Poetry Series presents John Olivares Espinoza and Rusty Morrison. If you have any questions or comments either about tonight's program or about the upcoming readings at the Word Temple Poetry Series, please contact me at khastings@wordtemple.com. Before signing off tonight, I want to wish happy birthday to both Jack Foley and Adele Foley, who were on the program tonight. They are both Leos, and I know that Jack Foley is a huge fan of George M. Cohan. So as a parting birthday gift, here is a medley of George M. Cohan songs sung by John Peterson. This is from his George M. Cohan Tonight CD.
Sweet popularity, glorious popularity, I'd rather have than a million, or a billion, or quadrillion. why wealth to contentment's a parody. I only use it for charity. My pleasures are few. Everything that I do is for popularity. If you want to be popular, 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 take my tip. When you're in a cafe with a sweet little dear, order champagne, never say beer. Don't order soup, but a terrapin stew. Nothing but Rector's or Shanley's will do. Smile while you're paying. I know what I'm saying, for I am a popular man. Pleasures are few. Everything that I do is for popularity. Popularity. Hello, Broadway. Good to see, you look good to me. I've been longing, longing for you night and day. I've just been waiting for a chance to say hello, Broadway. I'm never going away again, I'm never gonna roam. There's no place like Broadway, especially when it's home, sweet home. Did you ever see two Yankees part upon a foreign shore, when the good ship's just about to start for old New York once more? With tear-dimmed eye, they say goodbye, their friends without a doubt. Then the man on the pier shouts loud and clear as the ship strikes out. Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square. Tell all the gang at 42nd Street that I will soon be there. Whisper of how I'm yearning to mingle with the old-time throng. Give my regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be there ere long. Whisper of how I'm yearning to mingle with the old-time throng. Give my regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be there ere long.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. Happy birthday again to Jack and Adele Foley. Join me here again on August 26th at 7 p.m. for a tribute show for David Bromage. And be sure to check out my website at wordtemple.com for future readings at the Word Temple Poetry Series. Thanks for listening. ¶¶